Please turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We want to read verses 11 through 16. Psalm 34, beginning at verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. This particular psalm was written by David. David wrote about half of the psalms. Remember that there are 150 psalms. He wrote approximately half of them. David would have written this around 1000 B.C. But what he wrote is timeless. And how grateful we need to be that we have the writings of King David. He was known as a man after God's own heart. But notice in verse 11, David made an appeal. And his appeal was for God's people to hearken to him. In other words, he's saying, listen carefully to what I have to say. So this particular section of Psalm 34 begins with an appeal for God's people to listen to what David had to say. Now, according to verse 12, David's instructions that he recorded are for those who desire life, those who love many days, and those who want to see good. In other words, David is teaching us how we can see good days next year. Now, his lesson that he's teaching us applies to all time. But we want to make a particular application of what David wrote to the time of year that we're facing. We've come to the end of 2023. We're looking forward to the beginning of 2024. Well, David is teaching us we need to listen to what he has to say. But we need to listen to him from the standpoint of being people who desire life, who love many days, and we want to see good. You're not able to enjoy those blessings by accident. It requires effort. And the Bible teaches us how we can enjoy those very special blessings. We simply need to follow the instructions that David has written for us. Now, of course, we want to look forward to good days in the next year. We can do that by following these instructions that David wrote in the long ago. Now, what we want to do in our lesson is consider something written by the Apostle Peter in his first letter. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we will see that Peter quoted these words that were written by David in the long ago. Remember, these instructions are for those who desire life. We certainly desire life in the coming year. It's written for the benefit of those who love many days and those who want to see good. We want to enjoy those blessings in the coming year. We need to follow these instructions to the very best of our ability. Now let's read what Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You'll see the similarities between what David wrote and what the Apostle Peter wrote all those years later. In our lesson, we want to follow the instructions that are actually recorded by the Apostle Peter. But these instructions have been around for a long, long time. David recorded them many years before Peter did. This is the inspired word of God, and we need to look at it from the standpoint of how we can have an enjoyable new year. Let's first look at verse 8 in 1 Peter 3. There are several instructions given to us, and what we want to do is pay attention to what these instructions are, and we want to look at some parallel passages that help us understand what the Lord wants us to do. I find that's a good way to study the Bible. I've always believed that the Bible is its own best commentary. You can look at parallel passages, and you can understand clearly what's being taught in other verses of Scripture. Well, Peter begins in verse 8 by saying, "Be all of one mind." Now remember, these instructions are for those who would love life and see good days, which is certainly something we want to do in the coming year. That doesn't happen by accident. It requires effort on our part. We have to be all of one mind. Let's tie in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Now, we're going to make several references to Romans chapter 12. And I think it's interesting that the same instructions are found in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, as well as Peter's general letter. You see, they both were inspired apostles, and they revealed the Lord's will. So we would expect them to teach the same things, and they did. But Romans 12 and verse 16 helps us to understand what Peter wrote when he said, "Be all of one mind." He went on to say, "Have compassion one of another." Romans 12 and verse 15 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." As far as I'm concerned, that's an ideal commentary of what's involved in having compassion one of another. To rejoice with those who are happy, but then weep with those who are sad. That's what's involved in having compassion one of another. Peter says, "Love as brethren." Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." The Bible has a lot to say about love. Peter says, "Love as brethren." Paul explains that by saying, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." Now, the Bible deals with at least two different types of love. One is an affectionate type of love that brothers and sisters have for one another because of their relationship with God. It's an affectionate type of love. It's a beautiful type of love. It's reserved for God's people. But then there's another type of love which is even to be shown toward enemies. That is to seek the other person's welfare in all situations, even if sacrifice might be involved. Now, the Bible doesn't require us to go up to an enemy and give him a big hug. That's reserved for a brother or a sister. But the Bible does teach us to show love even to our enemies by even doing good to them. Well, we can do that. And it was a long time before I understood the difference between the type of love that is reserved for God's people and the type of love that is to be shown toward all people, including enemies. But Peter says, love as brethren. He says in verse 8 of 1 Peter 3, to be pitiful. I thought that I understood what that meant, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and read verse 32. I think this verse helps to explain what Peter was writing. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's what's involved in being pitiful. To be kind, to be tenderhearted, to be forgiving. And then Peter says, be courteous. Well, I've thought for years I understood what that meant. But let's tie in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. These verses help us to understand what's involved in being courteous. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Isn't it interesting how the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter are in complete agreement with one another? I've also thought it was interesting that these same instructions were addressed to so many different groups of Christians in the first century, and they apply to us today. These things have never gone out of style. This is the will of God. We need to keep in mind also that the apostles spoke and wrote down the things that Christ taught them. Jesus said that he came to do the Father's will. And in doing the Father's will, he chose a group of men to be his apostles. He gave them special guidance. He taught them for a little over 3 years. And then just before he ascended to heaven, he told them to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Part of the Great Commission was for the apostles to teach those who had become believers to observe all things that Christ had taught them. So when the apostles went forth teaching, they weren't teaching their own words. They were teaching the very things that Christ taught them. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to bring all things to the remembrance of the apostles that he had taught them. So when they spoke and when they wrote, they did so without mistakes. They recorded the will of the Lord. So while we're giving credit to Paul and Peter for recording these things and how grateful we need to be that they were faithful servants of the Lord, these are actually the words of our Lord. Well, let's look at verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And according to this verse, we must avoid rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Now, I've touched on this a number of times. This is a lesson that needs to be heeded in our society today. We constantly hear about people taking vengeance on others because of some slight. It might even be a perceived slight. But people want to take vengeance and want to take vengeance very quickly. Not long ago, Teresa and I were driving somewhere, I don't remember, but one driver cut off another car, and I thought, oh, keep your eye on those two cars. Well, one took offense to it. You could see that they were racing down the road. And this was not in my neighborhood. This was on US 1. A lot of traffic, a lot of people. An accident could have occurred involving innocent people. Why? Because someone wanted to render to someone else on behalf of what he thought had been done to him. Well, we see that all the time. But the Bible has a different plan for God's people. In order to love life and see good days in the coming year, we have to avoid rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Let's tie in several parallel passages. Let's go back to Romans 12 and verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. And that's very plain to the point, isn't it? That's exactly what Peter is teaching us. Also, let's tie in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men." Well, we would expect the Lord to want us to avoid rendering evil to a brother or a sister. My Bible says in this verse that that applies to all men. We have to be concerned about the influence that we have. And if someone sees us acting like everybody else in the world, well, that's not appealing, is it? Well, we have to follow these instructions. Now, they might be difficult, might be a challenge, but we really want to see good days in 2024, don't we? That doesn't happen by accident. It requires diligent effort on our part. What we need to do is follow the Lord's example, and Peter recorded it for us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's begin at verse 21. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Jesus set the great example for us. Imagine the horrible things that were said to him when he was on the cross and during the trials that led up to his crucifixion. But Jesus stood there, as Isaiah prophesied, as a lamb before its shearer. He never opened his mouth. All the while, he could have called down over 12 legions of angels to give man what he deserved. Peter says, not to render evil for evil or railing for railing. That's taught numerous times in the New Testament, and we have the Lord setting the great example for us. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, we're taught to avoid sinning with our tongues. We're to refrain our tongues from evil. Now, Peter has actually already touched on this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." Once we've done that, then we can follow the instructions given in verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." You see, all those things in verse 1 will prevent us from growing spiritually. And we have to put away those things. Then we can desire the sincere milk of the word, the end result will be spiritual growth. Now, Peter tells us in regard to this matter of not rendering evil for evil that we just talked about, he said those who follow that instruction will inherit a blessing. We need to concentrate on that. Then he goes on to tell us to avoid sinning with our tongues. And specifically, he said we're to refrain from speaking guile, which is actually deceit. And once again, the example of our Lord was written by Peter. Guile was not found in his mouth. You know, sometimes I love to picture scenes that we read about in the Bible. I especially love to think about the scenes when Jesus was teaching and people were gathered before him. The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. The common people heard him gladly. On one occasion, Jesus went up on an elevated place and presented a great sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. He went up above the people, so no doubt he could speak and they'd be able to hear him. On another occasion, he got in a fishing boat and went out on the Sea of Galilee. The people were gathered before him on the shore, and they could hear him. I like to think about, though, when the Lord was speaking, there was no guile found in his mouth. Over the years, I've heard some men preach that I just really thought a lot of. I've loved to listen to them. What really impresses me, though, is when a man is what he preaches. When you see a difference, that doesn't work very well. Jesus always practiced what he preached. He didn't say one thing and then do another. He practiced what he preached. Is there any wonder the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God? Now, on the other hand, the Jews were influenced by some people known as the Pharisees. Oh, they were strict teachers of the law, but they were nothing more than hypocrites, and that's what Jesus called them. Is there any wonder the people were turned off by what they had to say? Well, they were attracted to our Lord. There was no guile or deceit found in his mouth. Now let's look at verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Remember, these instructions have to do with loving life and seeing good days. And we're especially concerned about enjoying those blessings in the coming year. Verse 11 teaches us to eschew evil. I don't know about you, but that's not on my top 10 list of words that I use. But the word eschew means to turn away from. Peter's teaching us to turn away from evil and do good. Let's tie in another passage, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, for years, I understood that to mean to avoid evil. It's more far-reaching than that. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. That is very far-reaching. We need to be concerned about the influence that we have on other people. And finally, Peter says in verse 11 of 1 Peter 3, to seek peace and ensue it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 is a good parallel passage. Romans 12 and verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. A while ago, there was a TV program on. A couple bought a home near the coast in North Carolina, and they renovated it. Now, unless you've been involved in something like this, you may not be able to fully appreciate what the lady said of the couple. After it was over, they were making what's known as the reveal. All the friends and family come in and see all the work that's been done on the house, and they ooh and they ah, and the people who own the place just love to show it off, you know? And usually there'll be pictures of what it looked like before and then after, and you can see a big difference. But this one lady today said something I thought was very interesting. She was asked about the work that she and her husband did on this place, and they did a really nice job. She said, well, we worked real hard, and we're still together. I laughed about that. I thought, well, if there's something that will try a relationship, it's doing some remodeling or renovation. Well, Teresa and I can attest to that. It's a trial. But this couple passed their test. Now, she made a joke out of it, but there's a serious thought to learn from that. As much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. There'll be things that'll come up that'll put peace to the test. But we have to go the extra mile to do our very best to keep peace. The end result will be worth it. Let's consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, one of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that's what our Lord said. Well, these are some instructions that are addressed many times in the Bible. I'm persuaded that God wants us to know these things. If the Bible says something once, it's important. But it just seems to me that if the Bible addresses the same issue over and over and over again, special emphasis is being placed on that, whatever it is. Well, these instructions, first written by David in Psalm 34, and then recorded by the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, have to do with the welfare of God's people. We need to follow these instructions very carefully. If we will, we'll be able to enjoy some very special blessings. We'll love life. We'll see good days in the year to come. Now, in closing, let's look at what Peter wrote in verse 12, 1 Peter 3. We want to consider two points of information that will encourage us to practice these instructions that we've been studying. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We need to remember that the Lord is present to help those who do his will. He's always attentive to the needs of his children. He's present to help. But then there's the other side of the coin that we need to remember. The Lord's face is against those who do evil. Those are two points that we need to keep in mind that will encourage us to always do our very best to practice these instructions. The Lord is present to help, but his face is against those who do evil.